Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Man out of time, Aaron O'Brien.
Wink of an eye.
Blink of an eye, wink of an eye.
Oh, yeah, wink of an eye. That was the TOS episode. They couldn't name this episode, wink of an eye, because
They couldn't at all.
It was already taken. When you have 700-something episodes of Star Trek, you probably start running out of titles.
It's like, we already used that one, or close to something. So we're talking about Voyager... episode Blink of an Eye, which
do we have any news though?
I don't remember hearing anything.
I've seen like a third article, I guess. I think last time it was like two articles. I think today it's three, where Les Moonves has said that fall. But this, again, this is on the heels of that guy saying we have no release date scheduled. We have no release date scheduled.
Yeah, so fall.
It's very bigly.
It's bigly fall. We don't know anything more than that. So
well, Chris Pine was on Saturday Night Live. You put that video up on the Facebook group.
And if you do get a chance, if you're listening to this, the latest Neil deGrasse Tyson's podcast, Star Talk, he has Shatner on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. Don't go in thinking it's going to be awesome.
Well, it's interesting.
I thought it was awesome.
He goes, he says something like,
I haven't heard it yet, but it's awesome to hear.
He asked him, what's your favorite movie? And he says, Star Trek V.
He directed that one.
Of course that's your favorite. But it's awful.
Didn't Neil deGrasse Tyson Rima Manuel?
No, he just kind of goes, oh. Like, he's just like, and he kind of, and he said his favorite episode, and he made fun of Tyson for asking him, what's your favorite episode? And he says he never's watched himself. Like, he just does not go back and watch.
I don't think he's seen an episode of Star Trek ever.
No, he says he has not. He never goes back.
He didn't watch Next Gen either.
So he goes, what's your favorite? And he goes, I think he couldn't remember the title, but he was talking about City on the Edge of Forever.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was his favorite one doing it.
You got to make eyes at what's her face?
Joan Collins.
Yeah, Joan Collins, yeah.
What was the other thing? And he kind of ripped, he didn't really rip into it, but he kind of made fun of the J.J. reboots a little bit. Not bad.
Oh, it's because he didn't get invited to be on. He's going to make fun of it.
His idea was that it looks awesome, it's great, blockbuster looking movie, but it doesn't have the character development.
Well, of course not. But I remember when the teaser came out for Star Trek Beyond, and George Takei was like, oh my, it doesn't have the... it doesn't have the tenets of Star Trek in it. This is like a 90-second trailer. How are you gonna get the tenets of Star Trek in 90 seconds? I mean, you can't get the tenets of Star Trek in 90 seconds of a trailer of an any original series episode. All you're gonna see is like the action and like he's dead, Jim. Next time on Star Trek, you're not gonna get the tenets of Star Trek in a 90-second trailer. I'm sorry.
I've been in a couple rabbit holes of. YouTube, and I sent you one, but I've been watching. Someone's uploading the Howard Stern show onto YouTube.
Yes,
but they did Howard Stern did Takei's birthday, his recent birthday, and he has birthday celebration.
Oh, you didn't see that?
And you can just look it up on YouTube, and it's rude, it's crude, but it's hilarious.
Oh,
and Takei just rolls with it. He just has a good time with Howard Stern, and Howard Stern's a fan, but he ribs them constantly.
Oh, yeah.
But
Howard Stern just ribs everybody. That's pretty much how Howard Stern is. But the thing you sent me was like this guy at a train station, at a fake train station. He called up some kind of religious, religious radio station. And like they were saying the most filthy things in the background.
Yeah.
And like the lady on the line did not blink, get mad or anything. I was was like, oh my god, I can't believe this person isn't getting offended or mad.
They did. There's a guy who they have on the on Stern who can do Takai like to a T. So good. And they had him call into a religious, really goofy religious radio show.
Scientology?
And, no, it was like some like Southern
Baptist.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know what it was, but and he was like, you know, I'm not gay anymore and stuff like that. Well, that's awesome. And then he started like saying, oh, but now I'm gay again. You know, and just it was just the funniest thing. And the guys were like, oh my god, you're ruining our show. You know, because he's calling it in. And, he's, yeah. And he doesn't tell him. It's just oh my god, it was yeah. funny. It's just off the wall. It's if you're in that type of humor. If not, please avoid.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that type of humor, we have yet to hear back about anyone wanting us to do any of that slash fiction dramatic reading.
You know, Dave, I just say let lying dog sleep. So
we don't hear much about much anything, though. But
slash fiction read for our Patreon. If you want that. Just let us know.
Especially if it's your own fan fiction. Send that to us.
So let's get back into the episode here. Voyager.
Voyager for your pretty ears.
Voyager for your ears. This is Blink of an Eye, Season 6.
And your eyes.
Not eyes. Blink of an Eye, Season 6, Episode 12. First aired January 19th, 2000.
In the year 2000. Aw, oh, man. Good Conan O'Brien.
Written by Michael Taylor, who wrote Disease, The Disease, and Pamela.
Really?
White. Yep.
No wonder I like this episode. I keep picking episodes written by that guy totally on accident.
Also directed by Gabrielle Beaumont, and he directed a ton of stuff, but the notable ones I picked out was Booby Trap and Lower Decks.
Oh, Lower Decks is fantastic.
Yeah, Booby Trap is the one where they're stuck in the minefield, and they have to every time they try to warp out, and
he has
to get the girl to in the holodeck to Geordi to help him out of.
Like, I need you to fix this. Mm-hmm. Lay down,
please.
I can't. It's really funny because when we were trying to decide what episode to do, the first one I picked was Virtuoso. I was like, hey, we could do Virtuoso, do a Doctor episode because Aaron insisted that I lay off Harry Kim for a little bit.
Just let's give him a break.
And then I was like, oh, wait, no. There's like this awesome one with time dilation. And I was watching it on Netflix, and I saw Virtuoso was the very next episode. I'm like, that's hilarious. I picked two episodes like that are like side by side.
Side by side. Yeah.
And we're going in chronological order, I guess.
I guess so. So Voyager comes to a planet that is rotating at 58 times per minute, and while going close to the planet, a gravimetric gradient pulls them into orbit, and the crew becomes entrapped inside there. And because they're stuck in orbit in this planet,
they become the third pole of this planet.
They do, but earthquakes start occurring, and when the natives see the inhabitants of the planets see the Voyager as a star, they start worshiping as a god.
Ground Shaker! Lightbringer!
Ground Shaker!
We will only give you the red peppers!
Sounds like a rap song. Ground Shaper. Round Raper.
Round Raper?
Red Pepper.
Oh, man. But yeah, they only sacrifice this one fruit. Like, no one in the world is going to eat this fruit ever again because of Voyager.
And that fruit went extinct.
Hopefully it tasted like ass, so they're not missing out on anything. Voyager, we give you the fruit that tastes like ass.
This tastes like ass. I love the taste of ass.
It reminds us of Harry Kim.
Harry Kim. So I guess the planet has a tachyon core, which is really weird. I don't know how that's even possible.
I was like looking up tachyons because I was like, this does not make any sense at all.
It doesn't.
Because I think tachyons are
particles.
They're particles.
Theoretical particles.
Theoretical particles because the theoretical part is that they can move
through time.
Move faster than light. Mm-hmm. And no actual tachyons have been found from what I can
find. Just mathematically theorized.
But the way tachyons are used in science recently, because they're still mentioned a lot, they're called I was actually looking this up earlier, imaginary mass fields. Mm. So I guess the middle of the planet's mass is imaginary. So I don't know. I don't know how it spins the planet, or you know, does any of the things you know your core does for the planet. You know, like keep everything there, keep things alive, generate you know life,
yeah.
keep things warm.
Warm.
Like tachyons don't do anything about heat. Just imaginary mass, and maybe it might go faster than the speed of light if we ever find one.
So, yeah, I mean, that's another thing is can we ever find one? But I mean, who knows? I mean, they found the Higgs boson. I mean, that was proven, but it took them a huge hadron collider to figure that one out.
You know, let's smash particles together. Can we find it? I mean, maybe we can find a tachyon that way. Maybe. But I mean, like,
I don't know how you could.
But I mean, like, how does a particle, like, keep. I mean, it would have to be more than a particle of tachyons to, like, to be a core.
Right.
I mean, it'd have to be something super freaking dense to, you know, keep the planet spinning as fast as it's spinning, too. Because, I mean, it's spinning stupid fast.
Well, yeah, and that's the other side of it is it's going around their sun, but this but they're still spinning in faster in time because of the tachyons is speeding. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
This is a really good episode. Like the science makes no sense because this is a Voyager episode. And they're like science. They throw up their hands.
Science is magic.
They throw up their hands and the books at the floor. It's like
Harry Potter's here.
I'm like it's a great episode. We're just kind of picking apart the science of it right now. But the tachyons don't make sense. And like, okay, sure, it's spinning, but I mean, like, how do years work? Like,
man, that sun has not moved.
Exactly. I mean, like, the thing is, like, it should be like perpetually day for them for
the sun,
millennia.
The planet's still spinning.
Oh, it's still no, but I mean, but seasons. Like season, like they're saying seasons happen in the blink of an eye.
Seasons take like 20 years.
Like this should be. This is the planet where Game of Thrones happens, where seasons take years.
Yeah.
This is what this should be the planet.
Maybe that is that planet.
Maybe because it just doesn't make sense that like you know, I mean, that's the planet where seasons would take years to go through.
They just don't have head vaginas.
No.
So. No, so...
Don't put it in there. It won't fit.
It don't fit. Oh, now it fits. So,
the doctor will find a way.
Yeah, he does. So, like I said, the Voyager ship is kind of worshipped as a god, the ground shaker god. And Voyager starts figuring out pretty quickly that because time is going by so fast... Every like couple seconds is like days for them.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like for a second of the day or something of that nature. So like if an hour goes by, you know, like that's
people have died.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
People have been born.
So
seasons pass somehow, magic.
Voyager's engines go offline when they get stuck, and they can't just escape from the planet's gravitational pull. So they have to get that figured out, and they have to figure out how to break out
from its tachyon pull.
Yeah, tachyon and gravitational.
They're pull. Stuck in some kind of eddy.
Yeah,
as Chakotay eloquently puts.
So they shoot out a probe, and the probe takes pictures, and every 10 milliseconds, and that helps them just to see what's going on anthropologically. Through their culture, which is pretty cool that you could see.
Like snapshot the culture that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we first see them, they're kind of like caveman-ish. Not quite, but they're in that.
They're slightly more advanced than cavemen.
Mm-hmm. And then next we see them, they're, I don't.
Leonardo da Vinci type age.
Yeah, maybe in that ballpark.
Wooden briefcases and, you know,
although
balloons.
They write in English.
They do write in English. I think it's one of the first and only times you've seen alien species write in English.
Which I was like, guys, you could have just done a little imagination. Just slightly. Just made some pretend writing. Like, yes, here it is.
That actor isn't paid enough to make up pretend writing.
That actor wasn't paid at all. He was paid a hot dog with mustard. And he was happy to have it. So
make up an imaginary language. It'll be two hot dogs. Nope, we won't give you two.
One hot dog. All right. I'm sleeping in my Camaro tonight.
Can I sleep under Garrett Wang's trailer?
No. So they, yeah, we do get a scene where the aliens down the planet are sending up hot air balloons with handwritten messages.
Handwritten messages.
You know, to go to the ground shaker.
Lightbringer.
What is that song? You're a heartbreaker, lovemaker. I think it's a heart song. I think it is. Oh,
I don't know.
That's the song that should have been for Ground Shaker.
It's funny. Like a Voyager brings out songs like back on Everyone Do the Dinosaur.
Oh, right. Yeah. So they send out the balloon, but the balloon doesn't do anything really, and the probe starts to disintegrate because it's been up in there technically in their atmosphere for like 200 years, and it just finally just couldn't take it anymore. It's like died of old age.
The doctor has an epiphany that he can go onto the planet because he doesn't have a biology that would be messed up by the.
Well, just before that, we get a next scene of like some men in a.
In an observatory.
Thank you, observatory. That's the word I was looking for. And they're sitting there, and they're sending out prime numbers and mathematical formulas,
like the original SETI.
Yeah, and then they start saying, "Well, just say something in the microphone," you know, like. So they sent out,
It looks like it's like the 1920s looking at that microphone.
But it's in that time period. It's like maybe the 1800s to 1900s.
Weirdly enough, like the flashes you see of the planet, like on the planet, those are probably some of my favorite scenes in the episode.
It's awesome. It's really cool.
Just to see how like time has progressed and like what they're doing and how like the lore of Voyager being stuck in the sky.
Right.
Like the guy's like, I don't believe in anything, but like I had all the toys, I had all the skyship toys and friends.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Teddy Ruxpin and Friends. they had the talking skyship.
Oh my god. That's great.
It sang kids to sleep at night.
Go to sleep and good night. The skyship and friends won't kill you.
Maybe.
Or we will. And you'll die.
In an earthquake. And you'll cry.
So when they get that, they're like, okay, so they're aware of us. They know that we're affecting what they're doing. So they're the planet with the earthquakes that are, and that's the funny thing is like they just, there's like everything we build keeps falling down because of your ship.
Yeah.
You bastards. So
London Bridge is falling down again, because the skyship is there. Skyship.
so that's when the doctor says, well, anybody going down there,
they could die from the shock.
The shock of changing, the time dilation or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the transition is what they call it in the show.
So the doctor...
They don't ever say time dilation, unfortunately.
No, they don't. But the doctor could. So they send the doctor down. The doctor's gone.
They're going to give him like 3 seconds, which is like, you have 3 days.
But all of a sudden they lose him and they can't find him. It probably takes them maybe a half an hour.
To find them, and it's been like 3 years.
Been down there for
They look for like where the performing arts places are.
Yeah.
Because they know the doctor's
there. There he singing. Is. And we don't find out right away, but he had a family always down there.
He had a family.
How does that happen, Dave? How does a hologram have a family, Dave?
I don't know.
And this, how does for 3 years...
This is before they're warp capable. So they're like... our technology, like right now, probably at this point, maybe they're 19th century at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're probably early 20th century.
Maybe 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
Like, it's all kind of groovy. They're doing sort of.
Yeah. Like how? Like in next gen, I mean, in Voyager time, like in their timeline, they don't have a way for him to procreate. How does he develop that?
Like, I don't know.
I mean, did he just like borrow someone's thing just kind of put it in and just like let it shoot out like whenever he was doing his thing?
Or maybe he just like he had
or synthesized some of their DNA.
Maybe he just had sex with his wife and then while he was, because he said he was doing medical journals and stuff like that. Maybe he got somebody's sperm sample and then just injected it into his wife.
Maybe. I mean, like, that's kind of how like changelings can just like move fluid throughout their body or whatever.
I don't know,
maybe a hologram can do that with force fields. I don't know.
And how does his batteries on his little thing last that long?
And how does it not get accidentally knocked or, like, you know, like, he said his, you know, apartment got destroyed. Like, how did his, like...
Yeah, there was a war where he was there.
Yeah,
he was there. And he had a kid.
Yeah, I'm just like, wow, it's
it doesn't... And I like how he didn't really...
Besides, he did not tell Janeway about it. He only told
roommate.
I had a roommate. He didn't say talk about breaking the prime directive.
Right.
But if he somehow made that his kid, like he just made up some DNA on his own, like that is bizarre. And the thing is, if he could have a kid with her, how come he couldn't hook up with Seven of Nine? Because that pairing makes way more sense than Chakotay and Seven of Nine. Because every time Chakotay sees Seven of Nine, he insults her. Maybe sans this episode. Because I was surprised that they were in the same room and they weren't yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Which almost always happens in previous seasons.
Right.
With Chakotay and Seven. I'm just like, they hate each other. Why would they get together? It's like the worst pairing ever.
Well, you're just jealous. So,
I don't care. She should have gotten with somebody. She should have gotten with the doctor. I wouldn't have been jealous with that. I'm like, that makes sense.
Anybody but Chakotay.
Anyone but Chakotay.
Harry Kim's fine.
Harry Kim would also have sucked, but, you know.
Voyager does try to escape.
Well, she does try to, you know, hook up with B'Elanna that one time.
I don't remember that.
Well, she gets something knocked with her head. She picks up some transmissions where she thinks she's a male Klingon. She bites B'Elanna.
Oh, yeah. So Voyager does get a chance where they try to break orbit and they start ripping the planet apart.
It's I love that scene because they show like a
San Andreas fault. Yeah, kind of thing.
San Andreas. It looks like California is going to fall off into the water.
It's like,
they're literally showing like, I mean, I guess that was a thing back then, that California is just going to fall off into the water one day.
There goes San Diego.
Oh man, San Diego.
So beautiful.
It is. Dave Kish, or one of our listeners, Dave Kish, is in San Diego.
Well, you know, maybe we'll leave new beach property.
Be safe, Dave.
Let's hope Voyager doesn't escape velocity of the orbit there. So they abort that because they realize they're going to just destroy the planet. At the same time, a little bit after that, it's fast forward again, and the inhabitants have shot a rocket capsule.
An Apollo capsule.
Yeah, type of Apollo capsule up towards the starship or the skyship.
Lightbringer, Earthshaker.
Heartbreaker. So they go up.
You're a heartbreaker, Earthshaker, Lightbringer, baby.
So they should have been blaring that while they were flying into space.
Everybody do the dinosaur.
No. We're not on that episode. So they fly up and they actually dock with Voyager, which at first when I was watching, I was like, wait a second. How do they just dock with no problem?
How do those like hundreds of years apart in technology? Also like a solar, you know, like, you know, multiple quadrants apart. Like, how do their stuff just, like...
Well, maybe they milled it to do that. Maybe they're like, they might dock with it. And they, you know, they train their telescopes on it. Oh, look, they have portholes.
That's a good idea.
I came up with a good idea the first time in the podcast.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. Because they had been monitoring it. I just didn't think of that.
Thousands of years.
I'm multiple shots in. Aaron and myself and a brain hemorrhage shot.
The strangest drinks you've ever seen in your whole entire life.
But they were pretty. Well, one of them was pretty. The other one was horrifying.
The brain hemorrhage is not for anybody. You should post some pictures of a brain hemorrhage someday because people will be like, what is that? I killed a man and I put his brains in my drink. So they dock with Voyager, this Apollo type capsule, and the astronauts get off and everyone Voyager seems like they're just standing still.
Yeah. I guess they didn't have it in the budget for everyone to be moving in slow motion.
No, but, actually pretty cool that they're all doing that little freeze thing that,
yeah,
you know, like, and, while they're on there, they go up to the bridge, and that's when they start having like their metabolisms or however they're... Not maybe metabolism.
Their bodies are catching up to Voyager's speed.
Right. And then
it takes a while for that. Or no, they're slowing down to Voyager's, you know, relative slowness to their time.
So their commander, she unfortunately does not make the transition.
She has a brain hemorrhage.
She dies.
Dead.
And the pilot lives. Now, the pilot, he comes around. He figures out that they're in a different time rate than
I just love how, like, Janeway just puts it so delicately. We're normal. You're fucking weird. Yeah. No one else is like you. The entire rest of the galaxy is like us. You guys are the fucked up ones.
You guys fucked up.
Sorry. I just love that. It's like, oh, well, no one. I love how she just blames them.
And she's like, every couple seconds you stay on the ship, you know, their people are just dying on your planet. All your loved ones, everything you've known is like gone.
So. I love in the time that he's up there, they go from Apollo to warp capable.
Right.
Because they start experimenting with antimatter. They start throwing up, like, antimatter explosions.
Oh, and that's the next thing. They start shooting at Voyager for some reason.
Lightbringer, Earthshaker.
Blow it out of the sky.
Blow it up.
Kill them all. I don't care what they are anymore. It's the Donald Trump got elected. Just fire all the rockets at them. I don't care.
I don't care anymore.
I don't care. Just say, someone has to bring the skyship down, and it's going to be me.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Trump got elected at that point.
Just fire all the rockets.
All the rockets. And then by the time, like, the last two things they shoot of are tri-cobalt devices. That's like next-gen movie era, like, technology. Like, they are rapidly evolving technology, probably way faster than Earth did.
Right. Well, that's when they decide, hey, the only person that can save you because our shields are depleting is you, Apollo pilot.
You have to go back down there.
So they send him down.
No one believes him because he's been supposed to have been dead for like 50 years.
50 years.
This point.
He's like, you've been dead for 50 years. Like, I'm telling you.
If you want to report more than the weather?
Want to report more than the weather, weather girl?
Skyship, Lightbringer, Earthshaker.
Yeah, so apparently they must have listened to him, and he gave him. Oh, they gave him a bunch of specs on.
They gave him. Yeah,
it's
they
like,
gave
here's
him
how to build Voyager.
It's like here.
Build Voyager.
It's like, you know, we've already violated the Prime Directive a little bit. Let's just give them all our technology here on a data pad.
There you go.
You know, you got your metagenic, you know, your metagel packs, which are like have like brains in them that connect up to the circuitry
right,
of Voyager.
Right.
We're giving you this way advanced technology. Just get us the fuck out of here.
Take us away.
This place sucks. Don't want to be here anymore.
This place sucks.
How do they see out into the stars? Their planet looks like it's got like a big cloud around it.
Probably just looks like a woo, 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 woo. It's like you're spinning on a top constantly.
A top that never stops.
Yeah.
It's like Pringles.
Exactly. In the last minute, they think they're going to launch more rockets at them, but it's actually two ships that actually lock onto them with some kind of
Tractor beam.
Tractor beam starts pulling them out of the gravitational field, and the pilot from the Apollo program comes aboard, and he goes, hey, I can't stay real long.
I've got this awesome wristwatch that lets me talk and not lose my own time, but
every minute work. I'm gone, it's been like 16 hours. So let's get going. So he says, thanks for everything. I don't know what we're going to do next, but we'll see you around. And he beams back. Voyager gets away. And
he's an old man by the time Voyager gets away, like an hour or two later.
Yeah, he's like looking out in space, like, oh, there they go. You know,
it like almost kind of like hit me in the feels a little bit, like, you know, that he knew them like their entire life and then they just blink out, like, right as he's an old man. Like, Voyager doesn't, I mean, Star Trek didn't do that to me a lot. Voyager almost never did it to me, but I mean, I didn't like tear up, but like, it definitely like struck a chord with me more than Voyager normally does.
As you're getting older.
Yeah, I'm getting senile.
Senile is it. What I was thinking more than anything is the pilot comes back and like, I've been to the skyship. I know all the answers. He's like, he's like a guy who's like on some conspiracy like channel. Like, yeah. You know,
well, that's probably why it took so long for it, because he said us like 2 or 3 years.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Ancient aliens.
Oh, man. Too bad they didn't do his hair all crazy.
That
like
would have been
guy.
Awesome.
That would have been awesome. Aliens. They should have gone back to the planet for that part. Where
they
like,
should have just.
Aliens.
I mean.
That would have been hilarious.
I just picture him being like. on every kind of like conspiracy and you know those all those shows that are like you know about UFOs.
Yeah, the UFOs uncovered the truth, the real truth this time.
It's like no, you guys think this is fake, but this is real.
This is real. I've been to the skyship.
There's people that are on the ship. At first, they don't move, but then they start moving, and it's really happening. My God.
Well, I just really like how this episode came together. And the thing is, you know, they didn't have, like, you know, they couldn't look forward and see that ancient alien crazy guy. But the Star Trek Discovery, they are current. If they wanted to do that, they could make fun of the ancient alien guy. That would be hilarious. Like,
they should do that, yeah.
I can't wait to see what kind of, like, pop culture references they might be able to make.
I don't know. I don't know if they will.
Not that Star Trek ever really makes pop culture
not
references.
Not really. Not usually.
But they could.
They could.
It's a new direction.
They did Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy.
They did. Well, Seth MacFarlane's a huge Star Trek fan.
I know. But
so he probably, like, elbowed his way on Enterprise.
Hey, I'm doing Family Guy. You're going to let me on, like, a couple of those episodes. I don't have to play a big part.
I mean, Seth MacFarlane, I saw an interview with him. He actually wanted to, like, you know, help be in charge of one of the next Star Trek series.
Yeah.
This was years ago.
Yeah, I heard that, too.
Because he was, like, he's tired of doing Family Guy. He's been doing it for, like, 13, 14 years now.
Yeah, he just wanted to
like,
do that.
He's like, you know, I was like, I'd love to do Star Trek. Please let me do Star Trek.
Yeah. No one takes you seriously, Seth.
But if he's a fan, I'd love to see a fan in charge of Star Trek.
Really good singer. Apparently, he does, like, old, like, Sinatra tunes. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, that's why Stewie and Brian do all those music.
But he has, like, his own albums out. You can download them.
Oh, really? I didn't know he had his
like,
own albums.
Like, he's really well done.
He's got a great voice.
Like, he has these jazz orchestras that does, you know.
Yeah, he's got
old Sinatra, old standards, you know, stuff like that.
Light bringer, earth shaker, heartbreaker.
I don't know if he sings that one, but
darn it, Seth MacFarlane, get on this.
Get on it.
You're a listener, right, Seth? I hope so.
I mean, tunes in every week. So this episode I thought was fun to see a. Like, I think you've mentioned this before, as the planet is the character.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see the planet go through all its progressions. Now, the only gripes I have just a few small gripes.
The scientific gripes you brought up at the beginning, because the science doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's just beyond us, but from what I understand of science, I'm not a physicist.
No. Both of us are not physicists.
Yes.
Not even slightly. The thing that I have problems, like I said, when back in the Renaissance time, the guy writes in English. I was like, come on, you can just use a little bit of imagination there.
You know, that was one of the things written in the Memory Alpha, the guy who wrote in English. But nowhere in the Memory Alpha does it talk about the doctor having a kid. I'm like, how? Like, that should be the biggest thing that's written.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. Also, when they get into that, when they're in the observatory and they're sort of, you can kind of peg down. They're probably like, if not early 1900s, if maybe early 1800s or late 1800s, that it almost mimics that look. I mean, I know they did it for a reason. So you kind of know like, oh, they're in this time period, you know, like back in that time, you know, Victorian time.
Yeah. See,
not that,
we're gonna give you the-
not that time period. That was the annoying time period.
Yeah, see? We're going to show you the Tommy gun.
Hey.
Yeah.
Play it full of holes, Doc. Yeah.
Yeah. See my cigar.
Captain, it was terrible. They're all a bunch of gangsters. Oh, we got to do that one. We're all gangsters on the planet.
Yes. We'll just do a bad accent the entire time.
Piece of the action. That's what it's called. So anyways, I just thought that was like... Although I understood why they did that, it just makes it a little bit like, okay, but they are an alien civilization. Why would they look like ours? You know, that's all my point is, you know, like.
Sure.
But I get the idea. They're doing a visual reference that's alien enough, but it's also like, you know, they're trying to show it's like, you know, this is the time period.
This is how they're progressing.
Yeah. Which is cool. I mean.
Like I said earlier, like I think the times on the planets are probably – by far, some of my favorite scenes in the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so well done. And, like, the time dial, even though they never said time dilation, the time dilation is fantastic. And that's why it kind of made me sad a little bit, because it reminded me, probably because it reminded me of Interstellar. And that was extremely emotional
when
it came to how the, you know, the time dilation affected the people in the crew. Like, that was like, you know, it just that's probably why this episode hit me, just because of Interstellar.
Oh, I know. Interstellar is such a great movie. Like, when they're down on that one, like,
water world. Planet. Like the ankle-deep water world.
And the giant tidal waves, and they take off, and they've only been there for, what, like 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
And he comes back, and it's been 20 years.
Oh, it sucks so bad.
Oh, my God.
I know we haven't done, we've not been doing Star Trek episodes, non-Star Trek episodes, but maybe that one would be good to go.
I own that one, and I've watched it, like, 10 times.
I've only seen it once in the movie theater. I would love to see it again.
You borrow it, because it's really good.
I know we've kind of abandoned the non-Star Trek episodes for a while, but like, message us on the page, on the Facebook group, if you want us to do Interstellar, because I would love to talk about Interstellar.
Interstellar is a wonderful movie, and it really is so well done. It kind of blows my mind sometimes how well done it's done. It's thought provoking. It's emotional.
When I was back home for my sister's wedding, my dad, it came up, and my dad's like, I hated the bookcase scene. I'm like, how else would you represent four dimensional space?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was weird, but I mean, it almost makes sense that that's four dimensional space. It's just like this, it's one place, but there's so many different ways to go. So you can go to different passages of time.
Right.
Because you're looking at one specific place, but infinite amounts of time, which is really cool. I don't know how you could visualize fourth dimension any better.
And that sad part where, you know, like, where he sees himself saying goodbye to his daughter, Murph, and he's like, don't go, no, stay. And he's like banging on the bookshelf, and the book falls off, and she sees it fall down, you know. It's just like, oh my God.
Such a good movie.
Heartbreaking. And then he runs into his daughter later when she's all,
such a good movie.
Oh,
but yeah, this episode makes me think of Interstellar a little bit.
It does a little bit, without maybe the grandiosity of that.
Sure,
but,
sure.
I do like the seeing the progression of the planet, and I do like the fact that the doctor could go. I wish we could focus a little bit on that doctor, what his life was like down
there. That would have been great. Apparently he was a sports nut, though.
Ooh, he's got the big foam hand. Ooh. I don't know. We're number one. So, yeah, I mean, but it's there's not anybody who really stands out in this whole episode.
No. Like, it's the people on the planet that stand out, really.
Like, and the captain, even Janeway's kind of there. You know, she's not like a big part of this more than anybody else.
I mean, like... I mean, if anyone's the main character, it's the doctor, I guess, sort of.
A little bit.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's a nice like, ensemble episode.
It is.
But nobody really has the spotlight.
Yeah, I agree.
The planet the most. And that was, like I said, the best parts of the episode. I loved them.
It's definitely one of the more interesting episodes where it's, you know, you get to explore something that you don't normally get to see. A whole civilization kind of grow,
like, you know, in the how religion forms and how, like, superstitions form. It's so interesting how that happens.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's just like what influenced ours. It's really cool seeing, you know, from a fictional standpoint, but it's like the fictional stuff, you know, like, you know, what molded ours? Like, what did our ancestors see that we still have in our latent culture now?
Oh, yeah. There's got to be tons of things that
Cthulhu.
Oh, my God. No, but I think, like, a lot of people, like, I don't know, like, I mean, there's, like, even, like, weird callbacks that we don't even think about. Like the word Thursday means Thor's day.
Yeah.
Wednesday has to do with Odin's day.
Odin's day, I think it was.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they're all called, like, Saturn.
Saturn's
for
day.
Saturn. Yes.
It's crazy how, like, that, and I'm learning this in American Gods.
Right, exactly. I forgot about that. But, because I haven't watched it yet. But it is all, there's all these little, like, pieces of our old history that's
still, like, it's crazy that it's still in our culture today. Like, these our days of the weeks are named after, like, old gods.
And
it's crazy.
And that's just, like, a small tip. I mean, there's all sorts of little things.
It's, like,
that
trivial, just the names of the days.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, it's cool to think about. It's crazy.
And I think there's a lot of things that seem innocuous to us because it's just, like, it's in the background. It's just your life.
Yeah.
But there are definite callbacks to things that are far older if you really give it time and look into it, you know, and it's bizarre. Like, even why things are built certain ways or why people walk and talk certain ways, you know, it's all very interesting. So,
had you seen this episode recently?
Yeah, I haven't seen this episode in a long time. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Was it good upon rewatching? Because when I was telling you about it, you didn't seem like you really remembered it all that much.
I didn't remember it completely. I do remember it now. It's fun to see, and it's a fun concept. I don't think they hit. Nothing made me go like, "Wow, that's awesome!" But it's definitely fun to watch. You know, nothing made me like push it over the top.
Sure. I think with Voyager, like, getting episodes this good is like it's about as good as it's gonna get.
Oh, man. Well, like, you know, like when me and Guy did the series, the Slaver Weapon, that was like such a huge surprise to see, like, into like, wow, this is such a fun episode to watch. Like, it was like I was not expecting it to be that fun. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Sometimes your, like, expectations are low, and then...
Well, the animated series, your expectations are always going to be pretty low.
But it's still like, wow, that's cool. I didn't expect that. So it's stuff like that makes me go like, oh, this... Like, this one, I sort of remembered it from, like, hazily, but I was like, I remember seeing it once or twice. I don't remember. But seeing it again and rewatching, I did enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with the episode at all. It just doesn't make me go like, wow, I gotta, like...
I think this and Virtuoso were some of the last episodes of Voyager I watched before we started doing the podcast.
Oh, really? Yeah, so you were almost done with
that. I was almost done with the series. Like,
any reason to stop watching Voyager.
So I'll do a podcast. I won't have to watch much of Voyager because I hate it. But everyone seems to love Voyager. Our numbers do really well on Voyager episodes, so we're trying to give the people what they love.
And we said that we would focus more on Voyager because we've been kind of ignoring Voyager.
I think we only did like one or two Voyager episodes for the first couple of years, first 2 years.
So
we are doing, this is the year of Voyager, 2017, the year of Bigley and Trump.
Bigley Voyager. So yeah, I did enjoy it. I just wish, I don't know how you could make this into, like, maybe unless you made it into a two-parter or something like that, which I don't know how you could even do, but it would be cool to see something like that. Like, but it would be great because you could, like, send the doctor down.
See his point of view and for a little while.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see, like, what he's experiencing and stuff like that. So,
but yeah, this is also really weird because you said no one really the main character. Because, like, usually in Voyager, it's like, oh, it's a Tom Paris episode. Oh, it's a B'Elanna episode.
Right.
It was a good ensemble episode. He had a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think he even had Naomi Wildman for a couple seconds.
Yeah.
I got a report.
Yeah. Your title's verbose.
Verbose. It's a bit long. You need to condense it. Yeah. So,
I love Naomi Wildman. She's one of my favorite characters on the show.
I don't know how you would make this episode better.
Actually, Needlex wasn't in this episode, so I guess it wasn't.
Oh, he poured coffee.
Oh, he did. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was. He did
for that split second.
He didn't open his mouth, so that's good.
Yeah. So that was cool. Kim has probably like two lines. Maybe three.
But he was there.
Tuvok, very limited. Chakotay had more lines than probably anybody, maybe besides Janeway.
Yeah, and Seven.
Yeah, Seven had a lot, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you would rewrite it to make it more compact and more... for one episode, you'd have, like I said, you'd have to be a two-parter. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's just the thing. It's just a product of its time. You can't do it two episodes on it. Like... In Star Trek Discovery, they could do two episodes on it because everything's going to be a serial. Everything's going to be connected. So, I mean, if they need to spend more time on a certain topic, they can because, I mean, every episode's going to just build on the next one instead of where every episode's got to be a self-contained story and then have a, you know, a pretty bow on it at the end. So the next episode can start off with a pretty bow, then they can get ripped away.
Right, right.
Like, that's, I mean, Star Trek's great, but, you know, unfortunately, just the, I mean, TV now is so different than what it was in the 90s. Like, almost everything is serial. I mean, some things are still episode to episode, but most things are super serialized. Like, right. You know, your, I mean, your Arrow, your, you know,
oh yeah,
DC, your DC, yeah, to Game of Thrones, to American Guy, everything's serialized. Almost everything is serialized now.
Right.
I mean, like, Supernatural, is it super? I mean, it's sort of serialized.
It follows us.
Every season, sort of, like, but it does have its own episodes where they're just like, Supernatural is probably the most Star Trek-y show that's out still, where it sort of has an arc, like, in the background.
Yeah.
But half the episodes, or more than half the episodes of a season, are just
focused on one.
Just random story. Yeah.
Yeah. But they might have, like, a thread going.
Yeah, they might mention, you know, the overall story in passing, but, like, some episodes will just be, like, off of their own. It's like, what about all this crazy stuff that's happening? And they just doing some kind of baby hunt, like a it's just
baby hunt.
They're just doing a hunt for, like, you know, like a vampire or something. Like, that's still like first or second season. It's like, you know, like demons and end of the world stuff's happening in later seasons.
I've seen enough of it. I've seen enough of it to remember enough that
So I mean, I think that's the most Star Trek-y show, and even it still has that, you know, the backbone of sort of an arc going through all the seasons, sort of.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, I guess the arc in Voyager's them trying to get home.
Mostly. And that's the only arc, and they seem to try to avoid it at all costs. Like, oh, let's look at this planet. This is why we're here. At the very beginning of the episode, it's like, oh, I guess we'll take a look and skip us again on this planet. It'll do us nothing about getting home, but we're going to stop and look at it anyway.
Captain, how about we not and just try to get home?
Yeah.
Why don't we just stopping? Because every time we stop,
bad things happen, we think we're going to find a shortcut home, and we don't. You know, let's just keep going. Because, I mean, if we use, you know, where no one has gone before math, we can get home in, you know, 8.3 years.
Where was the traveler in all this? Just send them over to the Voyagers.
Or Q. I mean, Q offered to get them home a couple times.
Yeah.
But Janeway wouldn't open her legs.
No.
Janeway wouldn't have sex with Q. So she's like, nope, no, I just, you know, I only want to use a little fun time. Like, really, she couldn't debase herself a little bit
just to
get her crew home, since it was her fault that they all got stranded there.
I would have done it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's like, I mean, like, basically, it's like having sex with a god. I mean, like, he's an omnipotent,
there's worse things.
Almost all-knowing being.
There's worse things.
I mean, you know, probably better than having sex with, you know, like a
Chakotay.
Chakotay, but, you know, a Nausicaan.
Oh.
You know, they've got like spikes on their lips. I mean, what do you think they have on their penis? They're probably like cats, you know,
barbs on their penis. Yeah, yeah, possible. I don't know. Yeah, so, but this episode, fun episode to watch. Definitely worth watching.
Solid episode for Voyager, for sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I wish that you could get a little more into it, but, you know, like, deeper dives into that planet and what was going on. But
yeah,
obviously you're never going to get that far, so.
Yeah, but I mean, for Voyager, it's super solid, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
Fun. Absolutely. Lightbringer, Earthshaker, Heartbreaker.
Oh man!
I keep saying that over and over again. I don't know why.
It's a good. It's a good song
that no one wrote.
We'll have to look up the Heart song, Heartbreaker. After that.
Oh well, this was a fun episode. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it stuck up to my mind. Maybe next time we do Voyager, we can do Virtuoso.
The one after it.
Yeah, the one right after this one. Virtuoso. I mean, he wouldn't spend 3 years singing, and then he tries to leave Voyager to sing for this other planet.
I know what I'm doing. I've done this before now.
Yeah, so. I've sang professionally.
For 3 years. Do you know how hard it is from an alien hologram to make his way in life?
You gotta be the best singer ever. Oh, yeah. Well, do you have anything else to say about this episode?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. We've exhausted this episode. But we are less than a week away from the Nickel City Comic Con.
That's right.
So, I mean, like, by the time, I mean, as we are recording this, like, we will have already been at the con for 2 days and a week from now. By the time you hear this, it'll only be a few days away from the con. This will be coming out on Tuesday. And the con starts on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of you are in the Buffalo area
and you want to come, I guess it's $15 for the day, $30 for the whole 3 days. I said that right? $15 for the day, $30 for the whole 3 days. Yeah, that's correct.
I think so. I think there's like a super pass if you want to like get in early and get VIP to the panels that are going to be there.
Right. So, and is, you know, there's going to be obviously Shatner, Nichelle Nichols, Billy Dee Williams.
J.G. Hertzler is going to be there for Lieutenant Martok and various other random Klingons that you see in Star Trek.
Right. There's going to be the kid from Stranger Things.
Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers. And I will be moderating the Aaron Gray panel that will be on Sunday.
So if you want to listen to Dave
talk make a fool of myself
in front of Aaron Gray, who I had a crush in the 80s.
And I can definitely see why. I've been binging Buck Rogers to prepare for my
he'll never be the same.
I will never be the same. But there's lots of pretty ladies in that show.
There are.
Like the lady who's wearing mirrors and has like almost nothing on her backside. I couldn't believe they got away with that.
I know. It's it's a racy show.
For its time, it's definitely really racy.
Oh, yeah. It's the 80s, you know. So we're all going to be – I'm going to be there at a table. I believe my table is A21, which is Numina Comics. I'm going to be sitting there most of the day for my comics. Once in a while, Dave might pull me away.
I'll try to pull him away if I can get to talk with some J.G. Hertzler or somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe ask Billy Dee Williams what his favorite Star Trek is.
Star Trek. I never watched that.
I never watched that. That'd be kind of funny. I'll ask him how funny he was when he was in Predator. I know it wasn't him, but...
Don't ask him that. Ask him what's like playing a Harvey Dent in Batman, because he did play Harvey Dent.
Yeah, I know, but as a kid, I always thought he was the guy in Predator for some reason.
Oh, my God!
When I was a kid.
All right.
I thought he was the guy...
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Dylan, push him into a pony pencils.
Yeah, so we'll be at Nickel City Con. So if you want to find me or if you want to run into Dave, Dave will be running around with his microphone looking for people to talk to about Star Trek and all sorts of things. So.
Yeah, I mean, like if you don't know what I look like, I'll be wearing my gray Blizzard bags. If you see a guy running around with a Blizzard bag, that's where I'll keep my microphone.
And no pants.
Probably pants. Probably shorts. have two Star Trek shirts as a 3-day con, so I may wear other fandoms like Star Wars or Doctor Strange or Fallout. Who knows what I'll be wearing, but I'll probably wear Star Trek at least one or two of the days.
Right. Cool.
But yeah, it's going to be fun. Come out and see us. Come see my panel. Take pictures. Record video. Put it on YouTube. It'll be fun.
It will be fun. I'm pretty sure we're all going to have some fun with this upcoming weekend. So
yeah, and let us know if you're going to be there. It'd be great to meet some of you guys. And, you know, if you're there, we'll pull you aside and we'll talk a little bit and put you on the show.
Put you on the show. You can say what you think about Star Trek or us or anything else you want to talk about.
Yeah, because the next episode will likely be us talking to people at the con. So
there you go.
Have fun with that. Well, we hope to see you there. Let us know. All our music is provided by Warp 11, except for our intro now. We've got a new intro provided by Aaron's friend.
Dave Wilkes. He plays drums in my band, and he's pretty awesome for doing that for us.
And we've got, our outros are always by Warp 11 and that fantastic song. You can find the warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. Me personally at Dave_J_Duncan and Guy at GS Davis Art.
I'm at Blackbird2004 on Twitter. You can tweet me there.
Tweet him.
Tweet me.
He likes tweet. Me. He likes tweet me. Tweet me. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, but especially iTunes. Even if you don't use iTunes, go on iTunes, review us and rate us so we can be seen.
Please,
in the charts.
Support our show. Do rate and review. It's free. It only takes you a couple minutes to do. If you just throw us a couple stars our way, write a quick review. And if you have a little extra cash burning in your wallet, please consider going to our Patreon, Patreon/Synthaholics.
Yeah, Patreon.com/Synthaholics. We actually got two new patrons.
Thank you very much.
Jerrica, who we spoke about, who introduced us to Natalie.
Yeah, wonderful.
She is a patron now.
Natalie, a huge brain of Star Trek. Yeah, I shocked the hell out of me. Like, very often do we get guests that make me go like, wow. Well, you know your shit.
Yeah, we're trying to get Natalie back on, hopefully with Guy. So if we do have another anime segue that they can speak to that, as Aaron and I aren't as up on our anime. I mean, I know some anime, but I'm very specifically targeted.
Guy knows Excel so much. Saga, yeah.
You know, a couple other things I'm like super focused on as far as anime goes. You know, Ghost of the Shell, Vampire Hunter D, but the series is I'm not super up on.
There's a lot to know. So if you have a couple bucks, throw us our way to our Patreon. We do have extra benefits there if you do join our Patreon. Also, if you have an idea for a show, if you have any thoughts about what we've talked about here, please give us an email. Email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. We would love to hear it, and if you give us permissions, we would definitely read your email on the show and let everyone know. You know, we can talk about it and debate what you have to say.
Yeah, and you know, if you don't want to write up an email, you can also send us an audio clip. If you remember back on our 100th episode, we played audio clips, so we're totally cool doing that as well.
Yeah,
we love hearing from you. However, you want to talk to us,
most smartphones just do record a quick audio clip, and then you can just attach it to an email and send it to us. So,
and on our next regular episode, which would be the week after the con, we'll hopefully be having a special guest on.
Mm-hmm. And it won't be me.
You've heard her on the show before. She's from Star Trek Continues, and hopefully everything will work out, and we'll have Michelle Specht on the show.
That'll be awesome.
The next time we do a regular in-studio recording, and not out in the con verse.
That's right. Crawling on our bellies through glass and mud to get you all the interviews that you so desire.
and we desire.
Definitely shoot us an email if you have any thoughts and that you want to hear from us. And, you know, if you know anybody who might be into podcasts that might want to hear anything about Star Trek or sci-fi or just goofy guys talking, getting drunk, talking about sci-fi or Star Trek. Singing strange songs.
And was that bring a ground shaker, a heartbreaker.
Have to let them know about Synthaholic. We greatly appreciate anybody you throw our way. Word of mouth is one of the most wonderful ways that
Spread any podcast, but especially our podcast.
Yes.
Recommend them to your friends.
That's right. Tell them all
especially if they don't know what podcasts are.
Yeah, just tell people. I mean, tell them everything else is shit except Synthaholic.
Exactly.
So
even if it's not true.
Well, just tell them that. So, yeah, let them know. It's all shit. Listen to Synthaholics. So, yeah, let people know. And that would be great that, maybe we get a couple extra people say, hey, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah, you see, I like what Robbie's been saying. It's like you can't be the Synthaholics hipsters if the show doesn't ever take off and become huge.
That's right.
You guys can be on the ground floor and be like, oh, man, I listened to them before they were giant.
That's right.
So, I mean, like, you can have those, like, awesome hipster... You know, creds. You know, just you got to help spread the word. And
yeah,
I was one of the original.
You hear that, Synthaholic hipsters?
Yeah, exactly. Just like
we know you're ahead of the curve.
Just like last time we were talking about Wesley and his, you know, Engineering Hipsters Weekly magazine.
That's right. Yeah. Did you read Engineering Hipsters Weekly?
Come on, Jordy, get up with the game.
Get with it. Yeah, but anyways, hey, no matter what. Thank you so much for being part of our show, listening to us. We love having the show, you listening to the show. It's just a huge joy in our life. So thanks for being here and listening.
Oh, yeah. This is a fantastic thing. We love doing it for you guys. I mean, me and Aaron, we did this at our last employment, and now that we're not working the same place anymore, it's a great way for us to get together consistently on a weekly basis, and I love hanging out with him, and we love
talking Star Trek,
and for you guys.
And so. being Bigly
and drinking Bigly. Lots of strange things that David makes.
I didn't even want to tell you what he fixed me.
We told him. Shit. It looked like brains.
It did.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Oh, we got that one like just in an hour.
It wasn't a lot to talk about this episode. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, I mean, just, you know.
It wasn't, like, anything real deep to get into.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I mean, the prime directive thing that they broke.
They tried to be like, oh, like, you broke it by just getting stuck in their atmosphere.
Yeah, that was like, you're done. So they start worshiping you once you walk.
Yeah.
Ground shaker. Well.
Ground shaker, light bringer.
Yeah, I gotta find a.
Oh, man.
Gotta find that now.
Heartbreaker.
Heartbreaker. Oh, it's Pat Benatar. I said heart.
Pat Benatar?
Yeah. Got a great voice.
She does.
Super good looking too.
Oh, I bet. Those pop stars are.
She's really talented. She can play guitar like a mother.
I feel like this was a Hot Shots movies. I have to leave this in the outtakes.
Can you play this stuff with us talking over it?
Probably. I mean, we can do the episode. We can do the episodes we talk us talking over it.
That's true.
I'll probably just leave this in the outtakes.
Yeah. So far, that's the thing.
I mean, like, we did everyone did the dinosaur in the outtakes,
and it's like after you're like within an hour, like who's listening through that much? You know, like only like fans, and they're not going to say anything, right?
I hope not.
I don't know.
Thanks, fans, for listening to the outtakes.
Mess around.
Or the after show.
Yeah. The after show.
No. Or we look up strange things. Oh, when Pete was here, we watched those funny Star Trek videos. Yeah.
Anyways, we get the point.
Oh, that's a good song. I know.
That's a good song. Heartbreaker.
Heartbreaker.
I was saying heart, but it was a Pat Benatar. Well,
no, that's cool.
There's lots of things you don't know.
Lightbringer, Earthshaker, Heartbreaker, won't you live one hour with me?
Don't so make much. The San Andreas fall California in the sea.
Don't make that. Landbreaker, Heartbreaker. These kind of people gonna cry and die with me.
Make a king fall over in the ground.
Oh!
Didn't he fall over? He wasn't the king.
Yeah, the guy. Yeah, the guy.
He wasn't.
He's
king.
The magistrate or something.
Yeah, he's like, whoa! Do it with Kermit the Frog.